2 weeks before Christmas, we looked briefly at the subject of waiting. In fact, there are two people here who are waiting. So I really want to pick that up again and go much more deeply into it. Simeon and Anna were waiting for the consolation of Israel, or for the redemption of Jerusalem for Anna. And sometimes we have to wait for things. Actually, we don't like waiting. It seems to be a rather negative experience for us. But we need to look at it perhaps in a different way. From God's point of view, he's giving us his promises well in advance, so that we're ready, we're able to prepare for when God brings the outworkings of those promises. So from God's point of view, that waiting, that preparation time is a blessing. It just doesn't feel like that to us sometimes. Anyway, we'll start with a slide. Start with the story we read, Jesus' presentation in the temple. First of all, on the eighth day when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given to him before he'd been conceived. That was the first step of the process. Then, verse 22, when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. That's about 4 or 5 weeks later. So two totally different events. In fact, this process of going to the temple, Luke gets a bit confused about it, I think. There are three different rituals involved. There's the purification, where the mother, in particular, is purified. I think it's 33 days after the circumcision, so that makes it 40 days, which is about 4.5 weeks. Well, a total of 6 weeks, actually. Yeah. Can't do a math. 42. Yes, six. So Jesus is about 6 weeks old when he's taken to the temple. But the purification is for the parents, not the child, or for the mother in particular, but by consequence, the father as well. And that's the two passages that Luke quotes are from Exodus 13 and Leviticus 12. So Leviticus suggests that the mother should be purified with a sacrifice of a lamb and a pigeon, or if you're very poor, with two pigeons. So that was the first part of the process. The second one was that the firstborn son should be redeemed. Actually, that was by a financial payment, not by a sacrifice. Strictly speaking, the child didn't need to be taken to the temple for that. But the third one, suggested by one of the commentators, is that Mary wanted to present Jesus to God at the temple in the same way as some of the chosen ones in the Old Testament have been presented to God. So Jesus was going to be presented as God's son. So all these things are all linked together. In fact, if we look at the next slide, we discover that Bethlehem is actually quite close to Jerusalem. I'll go on to the next slide. I looked on Google Maps, and they suggested perhaps we should take the bus number 231, which wasn't desperately helpful. I then found that clicked on the right image, and it said that it took 2 hours and 11 minutes to walk from the Church of the Nativity to Temple Mount. So it's quite a nice day out, really. And you walk to Jerusalem, do all the things you want to do there, and then walk back before dark. Yep, so that was great fun. But Mary and Joseph had their own ideas of why Jesus should be at the temple. But God had some other ideas as well, and that was to meet Simeon and Anna. So we'll have a video of this. But I think I want to pick up the idea of Simeon waiting. In verse 25, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout, who was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Consolation of Israel. This is actually a technical term referring to the comfort passages in Isaiah. They're waiting for God to comfort his people. And Simeon was very much part of that. He was open to the Holy Spirit. He was a prophet of the Old Testament type who was open to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gave him pictures and visions and words. And so it had been revealed, in verse 26, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord, the Christ. In fact, it doesn't say he was actually particularly very old, although the video suggests that he might have been. It doesn't say how long he'd been waiting. But God had given him a promise, and he was waiting for it. He didn't know what it would look like. I think he was quite surprised when he arrived at the temple, and God said, "That's it, a baby, 6 weeks old." But he was very much open to the Holy Spirit and very open to what God was telling him to do. So he said in verse 27, "Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God." So, and God showed him that this is what we were looking for. Simeon probably didn't understand it, but he was prepared to take God's word and to do what he was required to do. And he's inspired to prophesy, as we saw in the video. I won't go through it again. And as with any Old Testament prophecy, his words are both very positive, that this is what God is coming to do, but also as a negative part of it. "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, a sign that will be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." It's a classic Old Testament prophetic word. But again, Simeon had spent all this waiting time listening to God, being open to the Holy Spirit. So when the time came, he was given the words to say. He was able to speak them out because he was confident in them. In fact, we also get a second person, Anna, who was also waiting. We know she was old. Suggests she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped day and night, fasting and praying. Yes, and she spoke about the child to all who are looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So again, it's the same idea. She was looking for something that was a sign that God was working, that God was going to bring a transformation in society. So I want to look at the concept of waiting for God's promise to be fulfilled. As I said, we're not told how long Simeon waited, or the promise was that he would not die before he'd seen the Lord Jesus Christ. But you've got this feeling of expectant waiting. Something's going to happen. I don't know what it is. I don't know when it is, but it's going to happen. And actually, God wants us to have that sense, particularly in terms of his second coming. We need to have that sense of expectant waiting. I'm sure that seeing Jesus as a six-year-old baby was a bit of a surprise to him, but that was God's fulfillment of his promise. And the Holy Spirit confirmed that truth in his heart. So this idea of waiting, this idea of expectancy, is something I think we need to take hold of and experience. The best word to describe this is in the words of a pop song, "Sunday Girl" by Blondie. You know, if you probably never listened to it. words, hurry up and wait. We're supposed to hurry up and wait. Okay? Hold on to that. I've discovered this in several times in my own life. I want to give a fairly clear testimony. There's quite a few possible pictures, but this is one that is the clearest. Most of you have probably heard this before, but I'm going to bring it again anyway. When Jane and I returned back to the UK from Nepal, I knew what I wanted to do, which was to do a PhD at the Reading University. Everybody told me this was impossible, so, okay. But God gave me two promises. I'm not quite sure how he gave me those promises, but certainly they were in my brain and sort of stuck there for the whole time. They were, you will get a job for which you did not apply. That's useful. How do I apply for something I don't know what? And the second one was, when it happens, it'll happen quickly. Okay, what do I do? I mean, we're doing deputation for CMS, so we sort of waited a bit and then wondering what was going to happen next and thinking, I can't apply for something because I'm going to get a job for which I didn't apply. Mm. But it was actually a very valuable time of adjusting, of getting used to being back in the Britain and getting myself organised and getting my brain straight. Fortunately, we were staying in a house that somebody had donated, well, sort of allowed to be used by Return Mission Partners. They didn't want to get that their house back very quickly, so we were allowed to stay there for a time. In fact, it was about a year after we returned to the UK. I got a phone call. It was from somebody called Graham Rice, who worked at the University of Reading. They said, oh, there's a job you ought to be doing. Come in and have an interview. Okay, so I went and had an interview. It was on a contract, so I had to be checked out by the people who were giving the contract, and they seemed to be fairly happy. And in fact, just after lunch, when the others had gone, Graham said, we'll register you for a PhD. Okay, that's what I wanted. God seemed to have fulfilled his promises. So we arranged that I should start beginning of the next month. When I got home, I got another phone call saying, they want you to start beginning of next week. Okay, that's two promises. Now, God, I'll get a job I hadn't applied for. When it happened, it would happen quickly. So God fulfilled his promises. And sometimes I think we have to hold on to that fact that God does fulfill his promises, even if sometimes he makes us wait for them. But that waiting time is a time when we should be preparing ourselves, when we're allowing God to put us in the right position. I've seen that many other times. It's slightly less clear than that one. God makes us wait. Sometimes he gives us an aspiration, something we want to do, then he seems to close the door on it and say no. And we're left in that situation of what are we supposed to do? Or just carry on doing the things we've always been doing. But during that time is a preparation time when we're waiting for God to allow God to prepare us for whatever it is that he wants to do. He's preparing us for his vision for our lives. We've got to be prepared to let go of it as our vision and realize it's God's vision that we need to hold on to. Until we recognize that this is what God wants for us and we need to do it God's way, then we're not ready. I think that's the reason for the wait. Once we're ready to do it God's way, gosh, then things can happen very quickly. Let's say on Thursday I sort of phoned up and said, are you starting on Monday? I've got a totally new job, something I didn't know anything about. Supposed to start studying for a PhD at the same time. You think, things move fast. That's the other side of the story. When God does start working, he starts working quickly. I mean, Simeon was sort of presented with this baby and had to say words over him. But God gave him the words. He was ready. And that's the point. We need to be ready for what God wants us to do. But we need to allow God to prepare us. Simeon couldn't work out what he was going to say beforehand because he didn't know the situation. In fact, I wasn't too sure what I was supposed to be doing until I got there. But God knows, and God's prepared us. So this is a pattern which certainly has worked for me, certainly worked for many people in the Bible. And I think it'll work out for each one of us if we're prepared to be open to God. So I think the story of God's promises to Simeon, and then Simeon's wait for the fulfillment of that promise, is something we need to grasp hold of for ourselves, that God is preparing us. Okay, waiting's not easy. It's very uncomfortable, but God is doing things during that time of waiting. Because when he starts working, he can work very quickly. And if we're not ready, we can't cope. So we need to be waiting for when God wants us to act. So we need to hurry up and wait. Amen.